Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is going on, everyone? And welcome back to the Awesomeo Fantasy Football Channel, where we are continuing to break down every single division. Now that the draft is over, now that free agency is mostly done, we have a really good idea of what these teams are going to be going into 2022, and especially with teams already being drafted all the time on sites like Underdog. We have a good idea about ADPs as well, and that's why it's time to bring in Awesomeo analyst Matt Gajewski to break this one down. Matt, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I'm really enjoying these division previews we've been able to do, and I'm excited to discuss the AFC South today.
Yeah, the AFC South is one of those divisions where, on paper, doesn't look that exciting. We've got two contenders, and we've got two very much non-contenders. And in fact, I was looking at some of the ADPs this morning, Matt. There are three, count them, three total players inside the top 50 ADP right now. Two teams right now have zero players in the top 50 ADP players. So that's going to be exciting to break down these teams, see if there is any upside here. As we have been doing, we're going to go in reverse win total order. So we're going to start with the worst of the teams and then go with the likely best of the teams here. Are you ready to get started?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's roll. Okay, guys. Houston Texans. Current win total, 4.5 games. Not that exciting. We got head coach Lovie Smith back in the NFL. That's exciting, if you will. He was the Texas DC in 2021. OC Pep Hamilton returns from 2021. And the DC is currently vacant. So it's essentially Lovie Smith's job. No one going inside the top 50, as we mentioned. Brandon Cooks is the first one off the board. Is there any upside whatsoever for this team with Davis Mills likely at the helm for another season?
Probably not. I mean, the roster still needs a lot of work, and a lot of it comes down to those trades that were made in prior seasons. The Bill O'Brien regime basically traded away all their draft capital for a bunch of sunk assets and wasted assets, and they haven't gotten the quarterback position right to this point. Davis Mills was actually a little bit promising compared to what we saw from some other signal callers and considering where they drafted him. So this was really the first time we saw Houston have some decent draft capital. And a lot of that came from trade. So looking at just the players they added to their offense, I think it's okay. Like, you're taking Derek Stingley that high is going to be a little bit of a reach for them. That they took Kenyon Green, which is an interior offensive lineman. Like, that's a bit of a reach too. Then you look at their free agent signings. They didn't really add anybody like of significant consequence. It's a bunch of role players on the offensive line. On defense, they have a bunch of linebackers. You know, they like re-signed Pharaoh Brown. They bring in some running backs and like a Royce Freeman. It's nobody that is actually like consequential to the roster this year. So I think they're very much in rebuild mode. And when you talk about a win total 4.5, outside of like just playing a weaker ish schedule, it's tough for me to see this team eclipsing the win total that they have at 4.5 here. But did you see anything from this roster building that made you think otherwise?
Just the fact that their division is so atrocious right now. I mean, we got the team that picked number one overall 2 years in a row in their division.
Yep.
And, you know, at the very least, we saw some rational quarterback play from Davis Mills. I'm not going to go ahead and say that this is the quarterback of the future here, but he obviously knew that Brandon Cooks was his best target, and he utilized him as such. And some quarterbacks in the NFL, when they're in over their head, they can't do something as simple as get the ball to their best playmaker. Mills was able to do that consistently. Still, if you talk about fantasy points per game, just 12.8, that was 32nd among qualified quarterbacks last season. I don't mind the John Mechie pick. You know, I agree with you. Like, Stingley was like kind of the hotness at the very end of draft season. And then, you know, he kind of shoots up draft boards. We've seen kind of no correlation between that late shoot up a draft board and them being better players overall. That doesn't mean he can't be great. It just means that there's no correlation between that late surge and him being great. I guess you build out interior offensive line when you're just in a full rebuild mode too. So in that regard, I suppose it's somewhat rational there. Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead are interesting to me because everyone's interested in Damian Pierce, this mid-round draft pick. But ultimately, this could be a veteran's backfield. Lovie Smith probably leans on vets who can block like an old-school coach. And so that means Mack and Burkhead, at their respective ADPs, I think these are some free guaranteed touches you're getting. No guarantee that Damian Pierce sees a ton of playing time right away.
Yeah, and he's coming off the board well ahead of those players. When you just talk about underdog ADP, 121.5 for Damian Pierce. It's a little bit presumptuous to come in here and think a running back that couldn't beat out Malik Davis at Florida among some other running backs. Like, it was a three-way committee down with the Gators, an SEC program, and not a very good one towards the end of the tenure there either. So Pierce, he does have some solid metrics when you look at his sample size coming out of college. He was great at forcing his tackles. He had some good long runs too, so breakaway yardage was there, but it's on such a small sample size. My question with him is, why couldn't he beat out undrafted free agent Malik Davis in college? Now he's going to be going up against better competition, and I don't think Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead are anywhere near like top 30 backs in the NFL, but they're certainly better than what the Gators had in their backfield. So I'm with you. I think this could be a timeshare. We've seen Rex Burkhead and Marlon Mack both do it already, and they're both going outside the top 180, and Burkhead's coming off the board outside the top 200. So, I mean, like, last round of your underdog drafts, you just tack on Rex Burkhead there. He has upside to get like 200 touches. I don't think it's most likely, but it's possible.
Yeah, it's going to be 200 unsexy touches on the Houston Texans, but volume is king in fantasy football. You know, we poo-poo Damian Pierce. There is a reason he moved up the draft board, just drafted it basically that Marlon Mack draft spot in the NFL draft. He goes at the 402. And one thing I will say about Pierce, man scored touchdowns his final season at Florida, 16 touchdowns. I do like to see that for my prospects. He's got a shot. Any last words on the Texans before we move on to the other basement dweller? They'll be competing for the last place trophy here.
Yeah, if you're betting things like the win total, it's probably a stay away. You mentioned the easy schedule. They're going to play the Jaguars twice, just being in their division. They cross over against the AFC West, which is going to be tough. But then they get the NFC East, which has opponents like the Giants, the Commanders, neither of whom scare you. If you look to their one-off games, you get the AFC East. So, I mean, they're going to be playing the Dolphins from their crossover because they didn't finish dead last. That's a little tricky. NFC North, you're going to get the Chicago Bears. I think that's a pretty good matchup. And then AFC North, you're going to draw the Browns. I mean, it's still a pretty tough schedule when you look at who they play outside of their division. So I'm not entirely sure I'm going over on this win total. What do you think?
I think I'm probably a push here. I don't want to touch the Houston Texans. I don't want to have money lined up with the Houston Texans as a team. I will invest in some of these players. Yeah.
Third place schedule because the Jaguars were so bad.
That's right. And speaking of pretty easy bets for me, this win total of 6.0 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's giving a lot of credit to Doug Peterson. I think this franchise is moving generally in the right direction. Does that mean I suddenly think they're going to move out of last place? I'm honestly not sure. The Texans probably have a better roster, in my opinion. Doug Peterson comes in as head coach out of football in 2021. Colts offensive assistant Press Taylor, now the offensive coordinator, and another team with no players in the top 50 in underdog ADP right now. Travis Etienne, first-round running back last year, who missed all of last season, is the first skill position player off the board, and a hugely disappointing first season for Trevor Lawrence. Do you see Trevor Lawrence turning the corner here? What kind of has to happen for this team to not be picking first this time next year?
They've had the first overall draft pick 2 years in a row and multiple firsts, so I think they need to play to their floor. But from a roster building perspective, I don't know if they've done enough to really get into even average territory, and their win total reflects that. Like, six is slightly better than the Texans, better than a lot of teams like the Chicago Bears and some others, but still probably going to be picking inside the top 10. That's not great. It's not what you want if you're the Khan regime. And I think the reason this team is not going to be good, at least for the foreseeable future, is this power divide they have between the coaching staff and their general manager. Trent Baalke is a GM who's failed at multiple stops throughout his career. He was responsible for basically torpedoing a Super Bowl ready San Francisco 49ers team that has subsequently rebuilt itself. But you remember there were a few bad years in there, and he's kind of done the same thing with the Jaguars. And I don't think it's just like the Trevor Lawrence pick. That was a no-brainer. But you take a first-round running back in Travis Etienne last year. This year, you pass on what seems to be the clear number one consensus pick in Aiden Hutchinson for a project in Trevon Walker, who is very good at that Georgia defensive line, but still a player that is a project and has some growth to do in the NFL. Then you take an off-ball linebacker in Devin Lloyd late. I like Devin Lloyd as a player, but he's about a 23-year-old, five-year player at Utah who took till he was 22, 23 to really ascend to that role. You don't really love to see fourth-year, fifth-year players beating up on 18-year-olds in the Pac-12, too, a weak conference.
That's what they're supposed to do at that age.
Right. Right. And then, I mean, he doubles down and takes like Chad Muma later, another off-ball linebacker from Wyoming. And I like Chad Muma, but why are you doubling down on a position like off-ball linebacker when you do have needs in the secondary? You traded Trevion Henderson. You have needs all over offense. You sign players like Christian Kirk to massive deals, Evan Engram to massive deals, role players, not players that have ever dominated targets in their offense. So it's still a major concern for me, not to mention the offensive line is deteriorating. A lot of their players have retired. They don't have Brandon Linder anymore. You know, they bring in Brandon Scherff, but Juwan Taylor and Cam Robinson haven't lived up to their draft capital. So to me, it's just when you have Trent Baalke calling the shots for the roster as a whole, even if we do like the head coaching change, he just doesn't have the pieces in place to be able to really upgrade this roster and make it a team that is capable of the playoffs, in my opinion, at least.
Just a virtuosic takedown of this Jacksonville Jaguars roster, a dismantling, if you will. I completely agree. They spent so much money on players that make no sense that they actually single-handedly changed the wide receiver market with how much money they gave Christian Kirk. The reason Deebo Samuel and Tyreek Hill started clamoring for more money is because of how much money they saw Christian Kirk get. And I'm not saying he's a bad player. He was a decent player in Arizona. Did he deserve that level of money as to shift the entire wide receiver market? Get out of here with that. And Evan Engram, I actually like that signing better from like a strategic standpoint. The biggest thing I want to see from this new offense, and I think Peterson will at least allow this, let Trevor Lawrence throw. Even if he's not good, let him throw. These games where he's throwing 25, 28 times a game, he needs to be throwing 45 plus times a game and get that Peyton Manning rookie season out of his system so that if he is going to develop into that superstar that we all thought he would develop into in his first few years at Clemson, he's got to be able to show it. He's got to be able to see defenses. He's got to throw 45 plus times a game, especially if they're not going to be competitive. I hope we get some sort of fantasy producer. Wouldn't it be funny if it's just Marvin Jones again, even at age 33, who's still on the roster, still might just be the best wide receiver compared to Kirk and Zay Jones. Come on.
I don't know if the Jaguars play on Thanksgiving, but Marvin Jones has a history of scoring half his touchdowns in that game. So, I mean, for DFS best ball, you still like the spiked weeks. And to your point on Jones, where he's going off the board in underdog ADP, pick 177 is just a lot more palatable than where you have to spend Kirk. He's coming off the board at pick 95. So I would rather just wait on Marvin Jones. They also bring in Zay Jones, who's a player that's surprisingly grown into, you know, a little bit of a role here. And we saw that last year with the Raiders. He's played a little better than we expected. My question for you is, what are you doing with Travis Etienne? So he's a guy that I think has been a touchy subject through all draft season. We have a new coaching staff that's not tied to him. We know Urban Meyer brought him in to play that like Curtis Samuel Paris Campbell role from the Ohio State days, which was kind of a weird fit altogether because Travis Etienne never really lined up in that position in college. He was a pure running back who had pass catching concerns till his final year. He's explosive. He's coming off the year ending injury. But I mean, we really think Travis Etienne is the guy for this new coaching regime that didn't take him? I'm not sure.
I think there are a ton of warts on the profile. Absolutely. But I think the ADP reflects that. I think that's one thing that I'm fine with, especially if we're talking about underdog best ball drafts and tournaments where we need to assume that once we draft a player, that they're going to hit their ceiling. Don't draft that player if they don't have a capability of hitting their ceiling. We know what the ceiling is, especially with an injured James Robinson this year and essentially no one behind those two. Travis Etienne may not be the guy. I completely agree. But he has enough upside as with the first round draft capital and with the injuries behind him that I am comfortable considering that ceiling upside at currently 56.2 on Underdog. Speaking of which, we are sponsored today by Underdog Fantasy, where we have already started doing our Mania Monday drafts, where we get into the best ball mania tournaments, break down our picks. You've even had people drafting with us live last Monday. That was really fun. And right now, you can use promo code AWESOMO to get a first match deposit bonus up to $100. And that is really vital because that is four free entries if you use that full deposit bonus to the Best Ball Mania 3 tournament. Currently only $25 to enter. They're giving $2 million to first place, $1 million to second place, and $1 million to the regular season points champion. So you could be sitting there with one of the best teams in the league as the playoffs start, already with $1 million in this tournament in the final weeks. So that's a really, really fun wrinkle. Again, that's promo code AWESOMO when you get in there and sign up for a first match deposit bonus. Okay, we move on from the bottom two. There is a chasm at this point, and we move on to the contenders in this division. The Tennessee Titans trade away AJ Brown in a blockbuster deal to the Philadelphia Eagles on draft night. Leprey and I were tilting live on the Fantasy Football channel and on the main Osmo DFS channel. Derrick Henry still expected to do Derrick Henry things. I mean, he was third in evaded tackles, total evaded tackles, while being on IR for half the season. Still pretty damn good. No one else going in the top 70 players, though, in ADP. What are our expectations for these 9.0 win total Titans this year?
Yeah, it's a tough spot to evaluate when you look at the schedule. You're going to see a lot of like ups and downs depending on the place they play. The Titans, unfortunately, have a first-place schedule. The Colts are the team that's, you know, favored to win this division, but they're playing a second-place schedule, which is really nice. And, you know, like, even the Jaguars, who play that fourth-place schedule, we didn't mention their schedule, which is maybe the hardest in football. They're losing a home game to play in London against the Broncos, who actually finished fourth in their division. That's tough. They're losing games to the Ravens and the Detroit Lions, who I think are better than the third place teams in their league. So it's a tough schedule for the Jaguars. It's also tough for the Titans, who are playing first place schedules from all those teams. So you get the Green Bay Packers, you get this Super Bowl runner-up Cincinnati Bengals. You're also getting the Bills. I mean, it's a really tough schedule for the Titans, and I'm not sure they got better, which to your point brings us to their roster this year. They've lost a lot, and I think we have to start with A.J. Brown. You replace him with a rookie in Treylon Burks. I think that's a downgrade outside of him just being, you know, a top five receiver. And I love Burks. I love him as a player. I'm just not sure he even has that ceiling in his range of outcomes. Very few draft picks do. They bring in Robert Woods, who kind of eases the loss of a Julio Jones, who never really played much for this team. But, you know, it's tough to really forecast what this team is going to look like. They also lose Roger Saffold. They bring in a couple rotational offensive linemen. They're able to re-sign Harold Landry. But, I mean, there's significant questions on this team, and that's before we even get to defense, where they're losing some people at linebacker. No Jayon Brown, no Rashawn Evans. They lose Janoris Jenkins on the back end, and they don't have a lot of players that come in and replace those. And I think that's why we see them with the second highest win total in the division and not the first, where they finished last year.
Tons of question marks on this roster, and you highlighted the main points perfectly. Treylon Burks is drafted to be A.J. Brown. You know, you just had A.J. Brown on the roster. You could have just held on to him. I get he's another one who just wanted a huge contract after that Christian Kirk deal. But Treylon Burks already having some troubles. Left his first practice already. He might already be on that Jamar Chase downgrade trajectory that we saw last year, where it ended up being ultimately irrational here. Bottom line is, Burks was drafted to be that dude in this offense. Woods will be a fantastic complementary player when healthy and could obviously lead this team in targets in certain games. But Treylon Burks was drafted to be the wide receiver of the future. And I will say this. This is where if Mike Vrabel really is one of the above average coaches in the league, we're really going to find out this year, right? Because there's been so much turnover. He's got a really tough schedule. There are tons of expectations for this team. Tannehill is on a ridiculously high contract. If he can get them playing the same way that we've seen the Titans play every single year, and they're just business as usual, I'm pretty prone to say that he's one of the best coaches in the league because the roster is deficient compared to where they were a season ago.
Yeah, it is. And again, you're like relying on a lot of questions in the back end. Like Christian Fulton and Caleb Farley are going to be two of your starting corners. Both of them have huge question marks at this point. And the offense, you already mentioned some of the questions they have. And, you know, they can't sign a guy like A.J. Brown because they have so much money locked up in Tannehill, a guy who is not their quarterback of the future necessarily. They have a lot of money lined up in Derrick Henry. And I think Derrick Henry is a phenomenal player. But that rushing attack didn't really drop off that much when he was out last year. I mean, you saw guys like Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman come in and play admirably for this Titans team. So is Derrick Henry really worth the money, even as, you know, the MVP caliber back he could be? Personally, I would rather have A.J. Brown. He's a player that actually makes a difference for your team when you can have guys like Dontrell Hilliard come in and play. So I think the team definitely got worse. If I'm looking at their win total, it's probably a lot of unders for this division as a whole. You know, like maybe we flirt with Houston's over because it's so low, but Jacksonville playing that incredibly difficult schedule, probably under for me. Tennessee, again, they're playing the first play schedule. So your crossover teams, the Bills, Titans,
yeah,
Cincinnati, like I'm going under this 9 win total for this team. And plus, you have Tannehill. If they go like 0-4 to start the year, and I'm not saying this is likely, but how quickly would they pull the plug on him for Malik Willis? They took Malik Willis on day two and they got him as a steal. But I mean, there were rumors this Titans team were going to take Malik Willis in round one because they can get away from Ryan Tannehill next year and save a ton of money against the cap.
Oh,
if that happens, like it might just spiral and then you go full Malik Willis evaluation mode with his team. I mean, it's in the realm of possibility.
Absolutely. And there is almost no more valuable draft pick than hitting on a mid-round, multi-year starting quarterback. So if they really pulled that off, all bets, I mean, they have a bright future ahead. You know, when the Seahawks pick Russell Wilson, even when Washington ends up with Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin in a draft, when you get that mid-round draft capital and it actually works at the quarterback position, it's quite rare, by the way. It's a gold mine in terms of draft value. That would be a very interesting turn of events and probably means that, yeah, we're smashing the under on that 9.0 total in wins. Now we move on to the Indianapolis Colts. Before we do, make sure to like and subscribe this channel and also go over to the Awesomeo Best Ball channel and like and subscribe that channel while you're at it. Head over to Twitter, follow my bud Matt at Matt_Gajewski. I am at Draftaholic. Thanks. That always helps us. Helps those YouTube overlords understand our program for the algorithm. You know what to do. Hit that notification bell too, so you always know when we're going live as well. All right, the Indianapolis Colts have a win total of 9.5, just a half a game ahead of the Tennessee Titans. A new DC in Gus Bradley, who was the Raiders defensive coordinator in 2021. Bradley's had a long career in the NFL. That's like a 10-year hire. I'm not super interested in that, but the Colts have high expectations. They have two players in the top 50 ADP. Jonathan Taylor obviously going number one overall in most draft. Michael Pittman in that third, fourth round range where we've seen a lot of ascending talent at the wide receiver position. He's sort of in that zone where we might be picking him round one next year, or we'll be waiting yet another year for the ascension. Besides Taylor and Pittman, though, do you have any high expectations for Matt Ryan in this offense? They have a second rounder and Alec Pierce. What are you thinking about this team?
Yeah, they have a solid offensive line. There's some questions at tackle, which is, you know, the main question there. But outside of that, it's pretty consistent across the board. So a good offensive line. Matt Ryan is definitely an upgrade at quarterback. So you like that for overall offensive efficiency. They have Taylor, who might be best back in the league. At receiver, they're getting back a lot of pieces too. Michael Pittman is there, and I think there's a chance he becomes the number one they want. And for fantasy purposes, there's not really anyone that can rival him for targets. They bring in Alec Pierce, who's a developmental guy. He was a player that didn't even start his career at wide receiver. So they're just hoping for further ascension for a very athletic prospect. You get Paris Campbell back. Theoretically, ideally, he doesn't get hurt again this year, but he's been a player that's flashed as well. On defense, they have a ton invested up front. So we're talking about positions of importance on the defensive line. They traded for DeForest Buckner a few years ago. Yannick Ngakoue is there. They have Deo Edegbo, who's a player that was injured last year in the pre-draft process, but was a potential day one pick outside of that. Mm-hmm. And then they have Kwity Paye. On the back end, they have invested some in receiver, in defensive back. I really like Kenny Moore covering the slot. But outside of that, their corners leave a little bit to be desired, but they bring in Brandon Faison. I think that'll help them. And then, of course, Darius Leonard, all-pro linebacker. So, I mean, it's a pretty complete roster. And I think for good reason, they're favored to win this division. I would probably go over 9.5 wins here because they are playing the second-place schedule, which just gives you a little bit of a little easier road here. And you draw some decent opponents. Like, their AFC North crossover team is Pittsburgh, who finished second in the AFC North, which is pretty solid. In the NFC North, you're getting Minnesota, and that's probably one of the weaker teams as far as second place finishes last year. And then AFC East, you get the Patriots, who also have questions. It's a very winnable division, and then you have an easier crossover compared to what the Titans and the Jaguars are going to face for that matter.
That week 18 loss to the Jaguars by Carson Wentz and the Colts, a strange gift that keeps on giving, apparently, because I think they had a steal of a deal with Washington. I think Washington got hosed, and now they bring in my opinion, a more efficient on a per pass basis quarterback. Although the ability to throw deep probably isn't there for Matt Ryan. That's not really what they expect him to do in this offense anyway. Alec Pierce, as you said, a developmental process, a prospect. If you wanted another shot on Andy Isabella, here you go. Hyper athletic, super speedster, drafted in the late second round. This guy has an opportunity to play. Honestly, too, Paris Campbell was another one of these mid-round picks with hyper-athleticism who just hasn't been able to stay healthy. They need somebody in the slot, a slot speedster, and they're trying to fill that role. I think this is a really exciting team. I'm actually drafting a lot of Mo Alie-Cox in the very end of best ball drafts because I think the snap share is going to be there. And it's not like Matt Ryan doesn't throw to his wide receivers, or excuse me, to his tight ends. We don't really know what this target breakdown is going to be. So ultimately, I'm looking at a team that's probably going to win their division, has a solid chance of 10 wins, and that means they're going to score touchdowns. Why not grab a free tight end at the end of drafts? It's going to play a lot.
Yeah, like Mo Alie-Cox, they just invested a lot in tight end recently, which is like a concern for me. Kylan Granson was the guy they took last year to SMU, who is purely a receiver. They take Jelani Woods, who's a really interesting prospect. He was an Oklahoma State transfer to Virginia, so he played in a very run-heavy offense first in his career, and that allowed him to show his blocking prowess. Then with Virginia, it's very much the exact opposite, one of the pass-heaviest teams in college football. He's a big 6'7 athletic tight end. He was able to show off his receiving. He's somebody I think could have a role, and that doesn't necessarily hurt Mo Alie-Cox. It's an offense that uses a lot of two tight end. But even just looking at the previous team we talked about, would you rather have Austin Hooper at pick 200, which is essentially, when we're talking about players outside the top 200 ADP, it's your last round pick. So would you rather have Austin Hooper for the Titans or Mo Alie-Cox for the Colts? I think I'm going Hooper based on available playing time.
I have an irrational hatred of late round Tennessee Titans tight ends because every time I play them in DFS, the other one scores, like Michael Pruitt or Jeff Swain when I have Hooper. I'm not saying it's a bad pick at all. In fact, it probably makes logical sense. Yeah, Jelani Woods, he is a beast. 6'7", 252, hyper-athletic as well. That's going to be a nice replacement for Jack Doyle. It's basically two Mo Alie-Cox out there. But it's a toss-up. You're obviously talking about the last round of drafts. My favorite last round pick, if I'm picking a Tennessee Titans player, is actually Hassan Haskins, who I believe that they drafted to be a one-for-one replacement if Derrick Henry were to go down.
Man, I don't know if he beats out Dontrell Hilliard.
Hey, it's fair. Again, we're talking about 0-1 expected weeks. We can dream with our last round picks. Any last words on the Indianapolis Colts here? I think I'm taking the over as well, especially what we're sort of correlating with the idea that we're taking the under on the win totals for the first three teams in this division. The wins have to go somewhere in the conference, and I think the Colts kind of gobble that up with that fairly easy schedule. What say you?
I agree with you. It's probably my second favorite bet in this conference, over 9.5 for the Colts. My favorite is under six for the Jaguars just because of the schedule they play is incredibly difficult for a fourth place schedule. I would go under with the Titans. Don't love that as much. And Houston's probably just a stay away for me at 4.5. That's a really volatile team.
I am in full agreement with you. That is my order of operations as well. If we're making bets here, Matt, this was a ton of fun. Really not the most exciting division on paper, that, but then when you get into the weeds, there are actually some bright spots, if you will. And unfortunately, some of those bright spots will be not so bright by the end of the season. We will be back with one more divisional preview this week here on the Osmo Fantasy Football Channel and tons more coverage as we take you through fantasy draft season. He's Matt Gajewski. That's my apartment buzzer. I'm Matt Savoca. I'll see you guys later.